So in today's scripture, we hear the voice of Isaiah. And the book of Isaiah is a fascinating book because it's really long, first of all. It's one of the longest books in the Bible, 66 chapters. And it's also interesting because it spans multiple centuries. Scholars today recognize that it is a unified work, but it was most likely written in three sections over about 300 to 400 years. The first section is about before the exile, when the Assyrians are threatening northern Israel. And Isaiah is reaching out in faith, trusting that God will be with the people, that they need to change their ways or disaster will strike, but that God will be with the people. And he holds out faith for a vision of a society that will be able to exist in peace with its neighbors. And then the middle section was written most likely during the exile, a couple hundred years later, after the Babylonians had sacked southern Israel. Assyrians had already sacked northern Israel. Babylonians had sacked southern Israel, and there was no longer a nation of Israel. There was only a diaspora, a people that were scattered. And in this is one of the sections we read, our first section today, Isaiah is holding out hope, a vision that was given to him by God for a messenger that will come, a bearer of good news, a bearer of peace, a message of a people returning to their homeland and God being in the midst of them. That's an incredible amount of faith to have in such a difficult time, when everything that you thought you knew had been called into question. And then the last section of Isaiah, the last 10 chapters or so, was written after the return. And this is where faith is an interesting thing, where the answer to prayer can be challenging. Because the people did return home, King Cyrus of Persia came in and conquered the Babylonians and told all the people that they had exiled they could return home. They could rebuild their temples, they could rule themselves. So long as they didn't try to rise up against Persia, they could live in general peace and prosperity, governing themselves. So all the people returned home. Peoples that had been split, brothers that had been arguing with each other, two nations, northern and southern Israel, which had split and been fighting tit for tat for centuries, had then been annihilated and then returned to live together. Not only people who had been on different sides of borders, but people who had been cast out, returning to people who had remained and now owned most of the land. And even though everyone had returned to their homeland, even though Jerusalem had been restored, the picture of what everyone thought it would be like was not the way it turned out. And again, through each of these events, through each of these eras, people had to return to the fact that regardless of who's in charge, it's the way we treat one another that matters. Regardless of where we live, it's the way we treat one another that matters. Regardless of who is a native born and who is an immigrant returning, it's the way that we treat one another that matters. And that has to start with a love of God. That has to start with recognizing that whatever we think we could do best for ourselves, God can paint a more beautiful picture, and he will get us there if we but trust him. It's an immense amount of faith that Isaiah has in a people as they move through very, very difficult times. So Thanksgiving was awesome. I went to my mom's house, and my brothers were there, and somehow there was a glitch in the communications, and we all decided to bring stuffed mushrooms for Thanksgiving. I brought two trays, two flavors, big old tray. You know, you fill up your whole 9x13 pan. Well, they each brought their own 9x13 pan. We had mushrooms coming out of our ears in four flavors. And Friday, you know, you can't get up. I don't go out for Black Friday. I don't buy anything. You just kind of sit there in your tryptophan stupor. still feeling a little overstuffed from the previous day. So by the time Friday hit, I was in a funk because I'd been inside all day and the turkey was long gone. And so Bruce convinced us all to go out to see a movie out in Oakland at the Oaks Theater. Is it the Oaks Theater? No, Grand Lake Theater. Grand Lake Theater. And I got to tell you, it was a really gray day, and it was rainy. You know, I looked out my window, and you can see the bay, and the sky was gray, and the water was gray, and the sky was reflecting on the water with a gray reflection. That's how gray it was. And as we're walking through Oakland, in that area, there were a lot of homeless people, panhandling. Some of them who didn't appear to be homeless, but were still panhandling. There was a woman who said she was trying to buy a whole pizza, and she already had $9. She needed the rest. And, you know, my faith in humanity was a little shaky. And I wondered, you know, what's the point? Look at all of this. Look at all this grayness. Look at all this drizzle. Look at all of these people. Where it's hard on days like that to find hope, especially after you have a big high like Thanksgiving. You kept that crash afterwards. So Isaiah envisions a messenger to show the people the way. When you are lost, when people don't know which way to go, when people's worlds have been shattered, a messenger to bring good news, a messenger to show them the next right step. And Christian scholars, especially in the book of Matthew, look back on this passage and say that was Jesus coming. Because he doesn't just show the way. He says, I am the way. If you follow me, if you trust me, all you have to do is come to me and I will show you the way, and I am the way. The problem is, and this is the problem that Isaiah kept finding, is people weren't willing to see. Prophets rarely predict the future. In this case, we think he did predict the future, but usually what they're doing is they're simply holding up the truth of what's going on in society right then that people don't want to see. That's why prophets rarely live to the end of their natural lives, because they keep pointing out those truths that people don't want to see. And the tough part is when we find ourselves despairing, it's often because we are not seeing the glory, the love that is right in front of us. Doctors, medical doctors have said the number one way to get over funks, to get over despairing, is by counting your blessings, naming the things that you are grateful for. It changes our perspective. It gives us faith that if these things could be happening now, if these things have happened in the past, they can happen again in the future. And so what Isaiah is calling out is something that people haven't seen before, and they're not sure they can see it because it's so different. Not only is his vision of society as it is different from what they want to see, his vision of God and God's messenger is different from anything they may have seen in the past. See, I've read, you're familiar with the Roman myths, with the Greek myths, with all of those gods and goddesses? Those are not friendly people. Those gods are warrior gods. Those gods are punishing gods. They get angry and they punish humans. Half the stories are about some god behaving badly, getting angry about it, and then punishing somebody. These are the kinds of gods you call on to settle vendettas. And so what Isaiah is speaking of is a very unconventional god, and that is exactly the Jesus that is born in that stable, that servant king, born on the wrong side of the tracks to a poor couple. It's a very unconventional God. It's not a punishing God. It's not a warrior God. It's a servant God. A God that washes the feet of his disciples. A God that shares with people that he may never see again, that may not even say thank you. He healed 10 lepers, only one said thank you. And he did it anyway. The kind of God that tells the truths that we need to hear, even when they're really uncomfortable. Because unless we acknowledge the truth, we cannot act accordingly. This is the kind of God that in every step he took, showered people with love, treated them like children of God, showed them how to be with one another. It's very unconventional. It was different from anything they'd seen. And yet Isaiah held out that vision because unless we have that vision, we'll keep acting in the same ways that we've always been acting, expecting God to be that warrior, punisher God. So as I'm walking through Oakland, watching all of this, what appeared to be a little bit of chaos, I'm seeing people panhandling. I'm seeing the people, you know, spare a minute. They say, do you have a minute to talk about this cause and that cause? We just wanted to get to the movie. And I found myself feeling very frustrated because I didn't think I had any cash. And so I'm having to say sorry to people that are asking me for money. And that made me feel bad. And that made me feel a little bit resentful that they would ask me. And I couldn't see an end to this dreary gray day. And so a wise woman, she was actually my spiritual mentor they assigned to me when I first felt the call to ministry. She said, seeing the signs of God, discerning God's presence and God's will, that's where the rubber hits the road in Christianity. Being able, despite all evidence to the contrary, to be able to suss out those little nudges, those little moments, those little blessings that let you know that God is present, God is watching out for you, God is guiding us, if we but listen, if we but open our eyes, that's one of the most difficult things to do because it requires that we stop what we're doing and listen, that we share with one another what we're seeing, that we tell those truths that prophets so often tell, witnessing where they see God working in their lives. And those are things that we are very hesitant to do, that it's very hard to do in today's society. So next thing you know, my little one is all up in my grill about how come I'm not giving money to the people that are asking for it, because normally I do that. I'll give her a quarter, I'll give her a dollar, and we'll give people money to panhandlers. It's rare that I say no. And I told her, I don't have any cash on me, sweetie, I'm sorry. And she said, well, we're all going to go be getting a cup of coffee, because we got to the movie and the tickets were all sold out, so we had to wait till the next showing. So we were going to go stop and get a cup of coffee. And she said, well, while we're there, can we get a cup of coffee and something to eat and give it to that lady on the way back? Well, I said, well, that would probably be okay. I said, but you have to wait. It's going to be a little while, and she may not be there when we get back. And by the time we got there and got the cup of coffee and, you know, time had passed and got the muffin, it had started to rain. It had started to rain. So most of the panhandlers had scattered. And I said, sweetie, I don't know if she's going to even be there when we get back. But my daughter bought a muffin she thought was the most nutritious, filling thing they had at the coffee shop, bought a cup of coffee and put milk and sugar in it, and in the rain walked 3 blocks with the rain on the coffee. I had to hold it for her because it was sloshing. Okay? Raining on this. Found the woman. She was still there. My daughter took that muffin to her and the cup of coffee, and the woman took the muffin but said, I can't drink coffee. Thank you, but I can't accept this. And my daughter is standing there in the rain with a cup of coffee ready to give it to someone and no one to give it to. You know, we all have gifts that God has given us. When we say that we are the hands and feet of Christ, that's not the metaphor. That's the reality. We are the hands and feet of Christ. Sometimes As much as we need good news, we are the good news. We are showing the good news. We are being the good news for other people. And we all have gifts to give. We all have that love to share. As much as we need it, we need to give it. And sometimes it doesn't make sense why we would be standing there in the rain with a gift on a gray day with no one to give it to. And yet, faith is trusting that if we open our eyes, God will show us the way. You know, faith is stepping off of a cliff. Faith is stepping off of a cliff and trusting that either a bridge will appear or we will learn how to fly. And so she turned to me with this cup of coffee dripping wet and says, "Mommy, she can't drink it. What do I do with this now?" And I had one of my wiser moments. I was tempted to drink it myself, but it was a little late in the afternoon. I would have been jittery throughout the whole movie. I was tempted to say, "Well, we tried our best, just throw it away." And instead, I said, "Sweetie, just take a breath and slow down. Open your eyes and look around. An opportunity will appear." Yeah, I have my moments sometimes. And she did. She went to the corner so she could look up and down both sides of the block. And she looked and she looked. And sure enough, there was one more person, a panhandler, the only one still out in the rain, leaning forward with his jacket pulled up over his head like an umbrella, trying to stay dry, about half block down. And she walked up to him with that cup of coffee and offered it to him. And he took it. And he was so grateful. Thank you. This is exactly what I needed. And as she's coming back to me, she didn't see it. Just like Moses didn't get to go to the promised land. Took the people all the way there, did everything he could. But then the next step, you don't always get to see. She was running back to me, and he lifted that coffee up and he toasted her. Under his hood, in the rain. And he toasted her. And as I looked back on that day, those people with their causes, they were saying, "Spare a minute for human rights." That's what they were saying, "Spare a minute for human rights." There were people everywhere helping. We weren't the only ones giving money to those who needed it. We weren't the only ones working on human rights. There were people all through that entire area that were being kind to one another, that were showing charity, that were doing their part to make the world a better place. And the sun came out. The sun came out exactly when we needed it. And we saw the movie, Fantastical Beasts and Where to Find Them, the next series, the next sequel in the Harry Potter series. But all I could remember was my child working so hard despite all odds, even though there was no money, even though there were no panhandlers, even though it was raining, to show a bit of kindness to people who needed it. If you but open your eyes, you will see Christ turning around and toasting with the cup. "We shared. Thank you. We're all in this together." This is the messenger that we wait for, and this is the messenger that appears if we but open our eyes. We are the hands and the feet of Christ. We await the good news, but we also allow ourselves to be the good news to others, and that is where our hope rises. So as we go through this Advent season, step out in faith. Trust that the gifts that you have will be needed and will be used, just like when you need love and peace and joy and hope. If you but open your eyes, it will appear. That's faith. That is the gift of this season. That is the promise that was given to us. embrace it and celebrate it. Give it to one another. Amen.